Hello and blessings again. It's Bob from Hackberry House. We've been studying the book of Job together. I'm so glad that you can be here. Would you go get your Bible, please, and open it up to the book of Job? It's chapter 3 now, chapter 3. And it's kind of a change in the from the way we started here. First word in that chapter is afterward. Afterward. How long afterward, I wonder? The TV preacher said I could rebuke this thing and it would go away. I'm believing God for a miracle. But days pass and the miracle doesn't come. Every verse that is supposed to be the key to your healing and your deliverance hasn't worked. How long, I wonder, did Job hang on to his initial confidence and good attitude? You saw it last time. We don't know. All we know is that there was an afterward, a conceding of defeat, a communication of confusion, a questioning, I think, of all his theology that he'd ever learned as a boy. And if he's living in the days of Abraham, perhaps it was communicated through that family somehow. We don't know how he learned about the true God, but he knew about him to some extent. But afterward, sometime afterward, Job opened his mouth and cursed. He didn't curse God. The devil had lost the bet, as it were. No, he cursed the day of his birth. Is Job sinning right now? Is it wrong to say, "I wish I'd never been born"? Yeah. Once God has let you know the truth about your future, and the precious promises that are yours for today filled you with His Spirit, caused you to experience so many wonderful things, it would seem that it's wrong, that Job is sinning here. But do some of God's people go there anyway? John Bunyan was harassed by depression. You can be locked up in a jail only so long before depression will set in, I think. Charles Spurgeon, locked up in a hospital towards the end of his life, and much of his life, great pain. David Brainerd, oh, I'm sure there are others who wondered at times, why was I born? What's this all about? What good is this? And Job said, "May the day on which I was to be born perish." Just take it out of the calendar, God. I don't want it to be there. Let that day be gone. And the night that said a boy is conceived, we're talking 9 months earlier now. God knew it was going to be a boy. And the night in which it was conceived, it was at when mom and dad were having relation with each other and a child was actually conceived. Well, let that night go also. Take both days out of the calendar. May that day be darkness, just clouded like it never happened. May God above not care for it, nor light shine on it. You notice in all of this talk, this chapter, he talks about the day and the night, and he curses those. He wishes they had not happened. He basically speaks to the day and speaks to the night. He knows, he surely knows that it is God who created the day and the night, but he's not going to come against God, but he's going to come against the day and the night that God created. He even mentions God here. May God above not care for that night or light shine on it. May darkness and black gloom claim it. May a cloud settle on it. May the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, may darkness seize it. May it not rejoice among the days of the year. May it not come into the number of the months. How do you do that? How do you take out a day from history? Behold, may that night be barren. May no joyful shout enter it. My goodness. May those curse it who curse the day. In other words, when you're cursing some other day, remember to curse mine too. because it's right up there with the most worthy of cursing. Not saying there aren't other days, but this day's got to be a part of the cursed days of humanity. The day I was born, are you kidding? Who are prepared to disturb Leviathan. I'm in verse 8, if you're trying to follow me. Verse 8, may those curse it who curse the day, who are prepared to disturb Leviathan. Now, some say this has to do with the occult practice of calling up some huge monster that they're going to call Leviathan to curse someone or something. Some people say this Leviathan was merely the crocodile. Or does this mean people crazy enough to stir up a crocodile are the same kind of people who should curse my birth? We're not totally sure. There's a little bit of difference of opinion on this verse. Verse 9, may the stars of its twilight be darkened. May it wait for light but have none. May it not see the breaking dawn, because it did not shut the opening of my mother's womb or hide trouble from my eyes. Now again, he doesn't say God did all of this. He's saying the day did it. The night did it. Verse 11, the pointed question. I hope none of you have asked it, but I think many of us have. Why did I not die at birth? Why did I just not come out of the womb and then pass away? God wants Job to rewrite history. If only, we say that often. It's not a good thing to be saying, is it? It's not profitable to talk like that or to think like that. Why? Because it can never happen. God doesn't go back and just rewrite history for you. What has been done is done. It's done. It's over. You just forget it. You can't change the past, ever. You can curse your parents or the people who brought you up or the your friends around you during those younger days. You can curse them all. Won't help a bit. Doesn't change a thing. You are still who you are because of your past. And your past isn't changed. Your present can change. Your future could change. But the past is gone. Why were the knees? I'm in verse 12. Why were the knees there in front of me? What's that about? That's about midwives giving birth, helping to give birth to children, and the children would just come out on the knees of the midwife. Why were those knees in front of me to receive me as I was born? Why the breasts that I would nurse? I mean, I had everything going for me. Life was good. And everybody was thinking, this is a normal kid. He's going to grow up and be wonderful. And I had a wonderful childhood, everything. But that's all wrong. Have you noticed how a filter comes upon your mind when bad things come, and suddenly you can't see anything good about your past? Nothing good. It's all bad. It's all bad. Of course, when life starts getting happy and good again, you look back and you say, oh, it's all good. There was nothing bad back there. I didn't do anything really that bad. We have tendency to filter things based on our present attitude. Neither of those filters are good. Truth is what God is after. He says, if that had happened, verse 13, I would have now lain down and rested and been quiet. I would have slept. I would have been at rest. Well, Job has different ideas of the afterlife. I think they're a little bit sketchy here. I don't think he had the full revelation. I don't think most Old Testament people had a full revelation of what the afterlife was about. Many Old Testament characters would be saying the same kinds of things. He fantasizes, though, that the great and rich people of the earth are now at peace in death. The New Testament just doesn't agree with this imagery. We should not be in agreement with a man who is suffering as he did and tormented in his thinking as he was and saying things that probably aren't true. Yeah, that's true. The Bible has the quotations of people who didn't speak the whole truth. Be careful. Reading especially this book of Job and all places like Ecclesiastes, where some men who were not really as they ought to have been with the Lord, who were saying things that they should not have said, leading us into some wrong things. The New Testament corrects all of those things. He says, I'd be resting with kings and counselors of the earth who rebuilt ruins for themselves. I'd be with rulers who had gold, who were filling their houses with silver. Oh, life would be so good if I could just die and be with all those wonderful people. Oh, I think that would have been an awful shock for him if he knew the whole truth of the New Testament, how many of those rich and many of those powerful people were not in rest at all, not at peace at all, but had really gone from bad to worse after death. Well, we'll leave it right there this time. We'll start with verse 16 next time. Much to think about, isn't there? In this book, oh, we haven't really begun yet. There's so much more coming up as his friends weigh in, as a preacher comes in, and as God himself comes to talk to him the truth. We will find the truth a little bit later on. Thank you so much for being here, as always. Don't forget to look over the rest of the site. We've got Spurgeon sermons and reports from the persecuted every week. We're studying Gernal's classics on spiritual warfare. And if you search through the site, you're going to find hundreds of other helpful audios. You can sign up for the podcast, download the app, and every once in a while, would you let me know that you're here? bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.